You or next to you, and just look them in the eye and say, "I'm so glad you're here." Go ahead, look them in the eye. Give them a full, warm greeting. So just so you know, this week is a really busy week and a really important week in the life of our church. You guys are making friends out there. You are like making friends, and hey, you told us to, Tom. We're doing it. Yeah, exactly. Just so you know, busy week in life for our church. This week we are beginning many things, are starting this week a brand new ministry called Gear Up Tuesday night. Awana is continuing this week. Kids Choir is tonight. Lots of things going on. But also tonight, beginning is our fall session of Spring Hills University. So go back in the table, look at those classes. We have 6 amazing classes to check out, and we'd love to see you register for one of those classes. So looking at the screen, you can probably say, "Wow, Pastor Tom, what's this new sermon series really all about?" And let me just ease you in to this new sermon series by asking you a couple of questions. And here's question number one. Do you ever feel like something is missing, especially in your spiritual life? Like, man, there's just something. Maybe this connects with you. I know there's more than I've experienced in my spiritual life. I know there's power out there. There's peace out there. There's things out there I haven't ever quite experienced. Maybe you come across verses like this in 1 Peter 1:8, and it says, "You believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy." And maybe you look at that and think, you know, honestly, Pastor Tom, I'm not really filled with inexpressible joy. My joy is quite expressible, thank you. And you don't have that experience of, wow, there's just this joy in my life. And maybe you feel like something's missing. Maybe it's like this for you. I feel spiritually stale and stagnant and going nowhere. Maybe you came in today hoping nobody would notice and you just kind of snuck into church. And let me just say for a moment or two, this is something that's very important to address in your life. Here's the thing. Maybe you're wondering, shouldn't I be moving and growing and going somewhere? Shouldn't there be some progress in my life? And the Bible would definitely say, yes, there should be progress. You should be growing in your faith. It's called maturing, growing from a baby to an adult. Or the Bible also says things like this in Ephesians 5:2, and walk in the way of love. So I want you to see it like this. Walk. Your relationship with Christ is like a journey. You're walking, moving, growing toward a destination. Here's a picture that kind of pictures your spiritual life in a very direct way. You're on a path. You're following God. There should be movement and growth, and you're following Jesus, and you're ascending that hill, and God has a destination in mind for you. But maybe you feel like, I'm just being held back. I'm not really moving. I'm one step forward, two step back, and I'm just not going. And really that is what this sermon series is about. It's about this word, this idea of essentials. Something essential is something absolutely necessary, extremely important. Let me say this to you. Maybe you're missing something that makes that journey actually work. You're missing something in your faith. Something essential is not present for you. So we're really talking about and looking at these essentials. The title here is Essentials, Vital Steps for your faith journey. I'm going to give you right now essential number one. So get ready to write it down. If you got a note sheet, you'll see it right there. There's a number one. You can write this one down. It's really important. It's going to come rushing at you. So get ready. First essential is this. You need to have unconditional surrender in your life with God. Write that down. Unconditional surrender. I asked probably 40 or 50 people this week, do you think unconditional surrender is an essential in the Christian life? And every one of them said, absolutely yes. Unconditional surrender to God is such an important thing. Here's how I define unconditional surrender to God. Here's what it looks like. To place all your life, everybody say all. All your life. To place all of yourself, all of your life under the care and control of Jesus Christ. To place all your life. To take all that you are, and maybe you're having a difficult day or a difficult time, or you're grieving a loss, and you need his care in your life. So you're placing yourself under his care to say, God, take care of me. You came to bind up the brokenhearted. My broken heart needs you. I'm placing myself under your care. But it definitely means, somebody stay with me. It definitely means I'm placing my life under the control of Jesus Christ. This is something that if it's not present in your life, you're not making progress forward. And maybe you disagree with that. But you know, disagree, who agrees with me is a A.W. Tozer agrees with what I'm saying. Look what he says. The reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they haven't come to the end of themselves. They're still trying to give orders, interfering with God's work within them. They are not fully surrendered to his will. There it is again, unconditional surrender. Hey, just say that, those two words together. Go ahead and say it, unconditional surrender. What does it mean? Unconditional surrender. All of my life is placed under the control and the care of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're wondering, hold on, Pastor Tom, unconditional surrender. What about this? Is there a conditional surrender? Can't I just give up some parts of my life? And let me tell you, in world history and the history of warfare, conditional surrender is actually the most common form of surrender. What happens is two nations go to war and they're fighting and they come to the end of the conflict and they have a conditional surrender. They decide that, you know, they come to terms like this. Both sides drop terms and they're agreed upon and one side surrenders. You know, in my life, I have a conditional surrender. A big part of my life, my daughter wanted a dog and I didn't want to get one, and here's the dog right here. And I gave in. I gave in to conditional surrender. If you walk it and feed it and wash it and pick up the poop, you know, that was my conditions, then okay, you can have a dog. Who understands what I'm saying? Raise your hand with me on this. Conditional surrender. Nations do it all the time. They conditionally surrender. So here's a question. Why would anyone ever unconditionally surrender? Why on September 2nd, 1945, did Japan unconditionally surrender at the end of World War II? And here's why. Here's the only reason why you would ever unconditionally surrender, because it's the only option. Let me ask you this question. Is that true of your faith? The only way to truly progress, the only way to be a Christian living with power and the peace of God and seeing progress is to be unconditionally surrendered. Absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. It's the only option. As my thoughts, you saw A.W. Tozer. Well, how about Jesus? You know, Jesus, here's number two, Jesus taught unconditional surrender. Write that down. Jesus, he taught it. It's the only way for us to live is to live with unconditional surrender. He told stories like this one. Look at Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, so just picture this. A man's walking through a field in the first century. He's going around and all of a sudden he sees in this field a treasure of incredible value hidden in a field. And maybe you're wondering, Pastor Tom, is that realistic? Do people really find treasure hidden in a field? Well, you could ask this man. His name's Eric, and he's from England, Suffolk, England, as a matter of fact. And he had a neighbor. His neighbor was a farmer, and his neighbor lost a hammer. Very simple thing. Lost a hammer, 1992. And he said to Eric, I know you got one of those newfangled metal detectors. Come over and find my hammer. I can't find it. So Eric simply came over one day. That's what he was looking like. And he had that metal detector, and he's going around. He finds one spot, and the metal detector goes crazy. Instead of just finding a hammer, he found this incredible treasure trove right there hidden in a farmer's field. Here's what he found. It was buried, by the way, before 407 AD, the contents date before that. He found 569 gold coins, solid gold coins. 14,272 silver coins, 29 items of jewelry in gold, 200 items of silver tableware. The total value of the contents were $10 million. He found a treasure in the field. Now, what would you do in that situation? That's what Jesus is talking about. You found a treasure of incredible value. You think Eric just left it there? Well, he's looking for a hammer. I'll leave the treasure, right? I guess I'll go try and find the hammer. You know, what do you do? What do you do when you find that kind of treasure in a field? Well, Eric actually went and told his friend, the farmer, and they said, you know what we're going to do with this $10 million? We'll split it evenly. You take five, and I'll take five. And the government said, no, you won't. We'll take it all. But they settled out of court, and they eventually worked it out, and they all got a lot of money. But here's the thing. In the Bible story, when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold, say it with me, all he had. Stop. And he bought that field. He sold all he had. He gave everything. An unconditional surrender to God. He gave everything. He sold out because the value of the kingdom of God is so much bigger than anything in my life that I have to give unconditional surrender. Jesus taught it, unconditional surrender. He taught it right here, Luke 9:23-25. Just look at these words. He said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple, stop right there. If you're in this room and you would say, I endeavor to be his disciple, raise your hand right now. That's what I want. I want to be his disciple. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. You lose your life. You give up in unconditional surrender. A.W. Pink said it like this. Taking up my cross means a life voluntarily surrendered to God. Jesus taught unconditional surrender, voluntarily surrendered. Look at verse 24. If you want to save your life, you got to lose it. You've got to lose your life. You've got to unconditionally surrender to God. But not only did Jesus taught it, you know, we all have this opinion about teachers that teach something and don't live it out. That wasn't Jesus. He taught unconditional surrender. And Jesus, here's your last fill in the blank for today. Jesus demonstrated unconditional surrender. How did he do that? How did Jesus demonstrate unconditional surrender? He did it right here in Luke chapter 3. Now, just look at me for a second. Luke chapter 3, Jesus is beginning his ministry. It's the beginning. And when is he going to begin ministering? And how does he do it? How does he begin? Here's what happens in verse 21. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And while he's praying, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Imagine that moment when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, submits himself to come in that water, to go underneath the water, submitting himself to baptism. And he comes up out of the water. What does baptism mean? Baptism, listen, look at me, everybody look at me. Baptism is the perfect symbol of unconditional surrender. Because when you go down in the water, you go down in the water, you are saying, "This water is my grave. And as I go down, I'm giving up. I'm dead. My old way of life is completely over. I'm under that water. I am dead." And when you come up out of the water, you say, "I am fully alive in Christ." Somebody say amen. Come on. Somebody help me out, right? Here's the idea of baptism. You're going down and you're saying, "It's over. I unconditionally surrender." But here's the thing. To be fully alive, you got to be fully dead. You can't be a little dead and a little alive. You've got to all the way submit yourself, unconditional surrender, and then come back up again. But Jesus didn't just demonstrate unconditional surrender at baptism. He did it at the end of his ministry as well. Here he is right here. That's a picture of the Garden of Gethsemane. We know what happened. They were in the upper room, and then Jesus goes into the garden, and he leaves a number of the disciples and takes his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, and he says to them, "Just pray. Pray for a little while." And then he goes on and he's by himself and he goes back and he finds him sleeping. He says, "Could you stay awake even for 1 hour? And Christ goes back again to pray a second time. And not only do we know where he prayed, we know what he prayed. There's actually a marker right there in the Garden of Gethsemane in four languages, writing down what Jesus said in that moment. Here's what he said. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground. When's the last time you prayed with your face to the ground in desperation to God? "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but what you will." What's he saying? "God, I don't want to be flogged. I don't want to be crucified. And I don't want to die. But I unconditionally surrender. Not my will, your will be done." What was he signing up for? What was he agreeing to by surrendering in this way? Here, this is the Roman historian Eusebius. Here's what he says about Roman flogging. Roman flogging, he describes in this way. "The sufferer's veins were laid bare, and the very muscles, sinews, and bowels of the victim were open to exposure." Jesus said, "Not my will, but your will." He then goes and carries his cross through the streets of Jerusalem until he can carry it no longer. Someone comes alongside and carries it, and they nail him to the cross. F.F. Bruce, Bible scholar, says it like this. Death on a cross was the cruelest forms of execution known to man. It was abolished in 337 A.D. because ultimately even the Romans considered it too inhumane. Jesus said, "I will die the worst death imaginable in a moment of unconditional surrender to be the Savior of the world, your Savior and mine."
You can say amen to this. 3 days later, he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave and is alive. Amen? Amen. I'm having a strange fall and summer because I distinctly remember, you've heard me say this a few times this fall already, this summer, 1996, 20 years ago this year, I moved back to Ohio and gave my life. I turned my life over to God. I surrendered. I unconditionally surrendered to God 20 years ago. And I'm having all these flashbacks come back to me of moving back to Ohio and being here. I began working here in this building 20 years ago, fall 1996, and all these flashbacks are coming. I was thinking this week about this moment 20 years ago. The youth pastor at that time working with the high school students, his name was Dean Schilling, and Dean said, Tom, we're having a little thing at Lake Hudson. How many of you guys know where Lake Hudson is? We're having a thing at Lake Hudson for the church. Would you speak to the youth? Would you speak to them? And I'd never spoken to a Christian group ever in my life. I said, okay, Dean, I'll speak. I'll pray. I'll speak. Man, I was frightened. There's knots in my stomach, and I came to that moment. I'm looking at these teenagers, about 40 of them, sitting on a couple of picnic tables, and Dean introduced me. Okay, this is Pastor Jeff's son's going to give us a little message. Okay, thanks, Dean. I appreciate that. And I got up nervous as could be. And I stood up. And as I began to speak, I began to feel just some authority come into my voice. I said, listen, I know where you are. I sat on those tables. I went to this church as a kid. You know what I did? I totally walked away from my faith. So look at me right now. And they all looked at me. And I took the stick. It was the sand at Lake Hudson, and I drew a line in the sand just like that. I took it the stick, and I drew a big line in the sand, and I said, you know what? This line represents surrendering to God. And some of you here, you're already across this line. And some of you here, you're teetering. You've got 1 foot in surrender and 1 foot in your flesh, and you're back and forth. And some of you would never surrender no matter what. And it got real tense. I said, so right now, do it. Get up. Walk across this line. Who here is surrender to God? And about 7 or 8 of them walked up like, is this really happening right now? And they walked across the line. And then about 10 of them were like, wow, this is a big deal. And they got up, and this one girl, I knew who it was. I could say her name, but I won't. She starts crying because she knows she's on both sides of that line, and she's crying, and she crosses that line, and she stands here, and then a few more come across that line, and it was working. I could feel just the Holy Spirit and the emotions, and it was a big thing. And eventually, about half of them, 20 of them, were on this side of the line, and they're praying, and some of them are on their knees, and they're kind of crying, and 20 of them will not cross that line for anything. They got their arms crossed, like, I cannot believe you. You're not better than us. Don't treat us like this. You're as tall as we are. Mm-hmm. That was their thought process, right? Their arms are crossed. They're like, we're not surrendering no matter what. And I knew coming in today, preaching this message, there's some of you in this room, praise God for you, and you're already across this line. You're over here. And you're worshiping, you're amening, right? And there's some of you in this room, look at me. And I know where you are. You're tiptoeing on both sides. I'm surrendering, I'm not surrendering. I'm surrendered, I'm not surrendered. You're on both sides of the line. And some of you are looking at me and you got your arms crossed and you're like, Tom, no way. Are you kidding me? Unconditional surrender would be like the death of all the fun in my life. I mean, I feel like my life was over. Maybe you're like Oscar Wilde and you'd say it like this. All the things I really like to do are immoral, illegal, or fattening. Maybe that's where you are in your life. I don't want any of this God stuff. That's no fun. The things I like to do are immoral, illegal, or fattening, and there's no way. Or maybe you're kind of standing with American culture because what I'm saying right now, listen, what I'm saying right now is very countercultural in America. How do I know that? There's a sociologist. His name is Robert Bella. There he is right there. He wrote this book, and the book really focuses on what is the core characteristic of American character. He interviewed like 2,000 Americans and did all this research, and he finally concludes and says this. At our core, America values freedom. While this may sound good on the surface, the problem arises when you examine the kind of freedom. It's not freedom for, it's freedom from. It's an attitude that says, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. This core value makes building enduring relationships like marriage or deep friendships difficult. Now here's the big payoff. Look at me. Because Americans see commitment as a rival to freedom. That's where you are right now. Pastor Tom, if I surrender to God and commit wholly to him, unconditional surrender, I lost all my freedom. I can't do what I want. I can't be myself. There's no way. Let me tell you this amazing paradox. What I found 20 years ago was the more I surrender to God, the more freedom I have. Amen. It was crazy. I couldn't believe it. The more I give everything to God, the freer I was. But maybe you're right there. Maybe your hero in this whole equation, maybe your hero is Bon Jovi. There he is right there. And just like Bon Jovi, you're singing this song. Maybe this is your song. Bon Jovi sings, "It's my life. It's now or never. I ain't gonna live forever. I just want to live while I'm alive." Try that, by the way, on your parents, high schoolers. When your parents are like, "Hey, clean your room up. I just want to live while I'm alive, mom and dad. That's what I want." Husbands, try it on your wife. When your wife's like, "Hey, I got this list for you while I'm, you know, out in the store. Could you do these 4 or 5 things?" Husbands, just tell them, "Hey, I just want to live while I'm alive, baby. Let me live. I want to live while I'm alive." Look what he says. "My heart is like an open highway." What does that even mean? "My heart is like an open highway." Like Frank Sinatra, he's quoting. Like Frankie said, "I did it my way." Bon Jovi says, "I just want to live while I'm alive." Now, some of you in this room are like, "I don't even know who Bon Jovi is." And some of you are like, "I kind of want to hear this song." So here, I'll play it for you. I'll play the last line. Here we go. Now, here's what he says at the end. Here's what he says at the end. "It's my life." Stop. Hold on. Is that where you are? It's my life? Because truly, unconditional surrender comes down to ownership. Who owns your life? When you're Bon Jovi and you're screaming it out, "It's my life." To commit myself means losing my freedom. And the things I like don't line up with God. Then you're clearly saying, "I own this life." And maybe if you're a Christian, you forgot something. That Jesus purchased you on the cross with his blood. Unconditional surrender is the only option. It's the only response we have to what Christ has done for us. One of my very favorite scriptures in the Bible, it talks about why we unconditionally surrender. Here's what it says. "For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." Now, what's he saying? Clearly, he's saying unconditional surrender. One died for all, and therefore all died. What's the symbol of our death? It's baptism. All those he's talking to had gone under the water and said, "I'm dead." And they came back up and they were alive. But here's what he says, first of all, primarily, he says this. Look what he says. "For Christ," you guys say it, "for Christ, his love compels us." When I know the love of Christ, I know I have to surrender all of myself. Listen to what I'm saying. Unconditional surrender is an essential. And without it, your faith is not going to progress. You're not going to see God working in the way you want to. Unconditional surrender is an essential. Maybe you're thinking this. "Pastor Tom, could you give us an example of somebody that we know, someone local, someone we can get our heads around, who lived out this kind of surrender?" And I can, and I will. Right now, working in our church, we have the great privilege and honor of having an intern here. His name is Michael Williams. Michael grew up in the church at Spring Hills here, went to Granville Christian Academy, and we've seen him grow up, and we saw Michael go off to college, and we've seen Michael. And I asked Michael to give a little testimony video of why he is unconditionally surrendered to God. And here's Michael and what he said.
"God, when I was 17, I was at a church camp, and I really encountered God's love for the first time. It wasn't until I had an encounter with God's love that I really knew and believed that God loved me, that he cared about me, and that he had a purpose for my life. And at the cross, I also saw that Christ was absolutely surrendered, and that he was calling me to a life of unconditional surrender as well. This surrender led me to giving God my yes, to saying that no matter what you want me to do in life, Lord, that I am going to follow you. After 4 years in college, this led me to seeking out an opportunity to go overseas, and God called me to the Arabian Peninsula. The Arabian Peninsula is a dangerous, scary place. It's kind of outside of the backyard, and I wasn't real sure what I was supposed to do there. It's illegal to be a Christian there, and it's illegal to share your faith there. And most of the people that I met there were very sympathetic to the persecution of Christians in the Middle East. But while I was there, I woke up every day knowing that I was obeying Christ, that my walk with God was never going to be about more or less than my total obedience to him. While I was in Yemen, there was a lot of fear that I had to overcome. There was a lot of uncertainty. Things didn't always go as planned. But unconditional surrender meant that he had my yes. I think unconditional surrender is at the heart of the Christian life. The cross calls us to surrender. It calls us to lay down all of our conditions on what we think our life should be about. It called me to say, Lord, I'll go anywhere you send me, and I'll do anything you want me to do. And for me, that meant going to the Arabian Peninsula, and I really think he's going to lead me back there someday. And that's exciting. I found joy in obeying him.
Hey, did you hear that last part? Give Michael a hand if you don't mind. The last thing Michael said, I just love how he ended that. He says, I found joy in obeying him. And that's the truth. When you obey God, there is joy in your life like you've never experienced. Michael went to one of the most dangerous places in the world for Christians, and he went there to share his faith. It was illegal and against the law, but Michael said, I will obey Christ. Amen. So you know where I'm going, don't you? Just look at me. You know where I'm going. I'm coming to you. I'm coming right here to you to ask you about how conditional is your surrender to God? Where is your heart with God? Before I ask that, I want to give you one last example of unconditional surrender, and I love this example. It involves my friend Elaine Long. That's a picture of Elaine right there, and Elaine's actually here with us in the room. Give her a hand if you guys don't mind. Give her a little hand, and Elaine's right there, and Elaine, this is a picture in the Philippines back in July of this year. That's Sarah Foltz is there in the picture too, but that's Elaine Long, and they were going to a missions conference or a conference that was there, and they stopped off and they found this cliff, a 30-foot cliff. Here's Elaine's, her own words about this experience and what she was saying. I would not normally have any interest in jumping off a 30-foot cliff. I don't even like the high dive at the pool. But I knew that our son Greg would have loved it. And it was something he never had the opportunity to do in his two trips to the Philippines. You see, Elaine was there in the Philippines because God called her, but her son, Greg Long, maybe you remember Greg, there he is right there, passed away last November. And Elaine went on this trip to honor him and to help those who are grieving in the Philippines over Greg's loss, and she was there in his honor. So when she saw people jumping off this 30-foot cliff, she thought, you know what? I'm going to jump off this cliff in Greg's honor. Here's what she says. We asked some teen boys who were having fun jumping in to show us how they did it. We watched them as they threw their flip-flops in the water below and then jumped with abandon, collecting their flip-flops as they came up out of the water. We decided since Aaron Fry was our team leader, he should go first. Which he did with great success. You guys want to see a picture of Aaron jumping off? Here's Aaron and Dave Traeger and one of the pastors there jumping off this 30-foot cliff. And Elaine says, when it came my turn, I carefully approached the edge looking for a secure place for my feet. The rocks were sharp and uneven, and I wanted to be close enough to the ledge so I wouldn't hit the cliffside when I jumped. But I also didn't want to stand too close to the edge. The 30-foot looked a lot longer when viewed from the top. Everything inside me was telling me not to jump. It was crazy. People aren't meant to leap off cliffs. It was risky, but I'd seen others jump and make it, including members of my own team. I finally realized I just needed to jump because it was never going to feel right. So I jumped. You guys want to see a picture of Elaine jumping off the cliff? By the way, somebody last night saw the word joy. Right, there's an O in the middle and a Y. Keep looking for that. Okay, here's Elaine jumping off right there. Give her a hand over. Look at her jumping off the cliff. How amazing. The free fall was longer than I expected. It was a challenge to hit the water straight, but I made it. I was so excited to see below the surface in such clear water that I opened my eyes, forgetting it was salt water. I could see fish swimming nearby. I surfaced with a huge smile and a whoop. Give her a whoop. Give her a whoop, everybody. There she is. Here's a little, I think this is the whoop picture, Elaine, of you right there. Woo! I was standing in the water below the cliff, cheering on others as they jumped, and it occurred to me that God was giving us a great picture of so many elements of our relationship with him. Surrender, total commitment, discipleship, leadership. Tossing your flip-flops in the water is your yes to God. You have to trust him. And leave the cliff. It can be scary, risky, not make complete sense. But you know you have to be all in and jump or not at all. Listen to what she says. There's no half jumping. You push off the cliff with determination so you don't hit the edge. But you can't wait for everything to feel right when jumping by faith. Often you have to just move out and jump. When my father invited me to go to the Philippines, I said yes. I tossed my flip-flops in. There were things about my role in the team in the Philippines I was concerned about before leaving on the trip, but I went with the willingness to do whatever my father asked me to do and be available in whatever way he needed me to be. Those very things that caused me so much concern before leaving turned out to be some of the greatest blessings as I connected with people and helped them make Jesus known during this trip. One more hand for Elaine, if you guys don't mind. Give her a hand. Great job. So here's my question for you. Can you throw in your flip-flop? Can you throw in your yes? Could you throw down your yes today to God? Yes. I don't know the question, God. I don't know what you're going to ask me to do. I might go to the Arabian Peninsula like Michael, or I might go to the Philippines like Elaine, or you might be calling me to enrich my marriage or change my job or just reach out to my neighbors in my own neighborhood and be an example for Christ to them. Could you throw down your yes to God no matter what? Could you take off your flip-flop or fancy Manchu and throw it in, knowing you have to jump after it? Things are going to get real in this room right now. Because I'm going to ask you two things. I'm going to take off a second shoe because I can't walk like that. Two things I'm going to ask you. I want you to lay it all down in this room today. That could be on your knees. That could be you walking up here on your knees and saying to God, I unconditionally surrender. I place all of my life under the care and control of Jesus Christ. That's you, a response you can have. But listen to me very carefully. I told you in this service several times, there's a symbol in Christianity of unconditional surrender, and that symbol is baptism. So I'm going to ask you this. If you're in this room right now, and you've accepted Christ but never been baptized, I want you to come. I'm calling you to come, to walk up, to meet my brother Jeff Houghton right over here by this door, to walk back, and you're going to walk into a room. And that room is full of clothes separated by sizes. And believe me, we've got your size. Just going to ensure that you've accepted Christ and make sure it's happening. And you're going to walk back, pick out your clothes, grab a towel, and go upstairs. Oh, Pastor Tom, what about my hair? We have blow dryers, ladies. We got hair gel. We got mousse. You're going to look good on the way home. I'm just telling you that right now. Pastor Tom, would anyone ever do this? Oh, yeah, last night, 7 people did this last night. Amen? 7. And you can't tell me Saturday night's more committed than Sunday morning, 9 a.m. So who's going to come? Who's going to do it? One man last night came up, and he, with Pastor Jeff, prayed and accepted Christ and was immediately baptized. How awesome is that? So maybe you're here. Yeah, go ahead. Maybe you're here and you're in that place today. You know I've never accepted Christ. Why not come back right now, accept Christ and follow him in obedience by being baptized? Why not? Maybe you're here and you're in this condition. 20 years ago, I've been talking about that 20-year-ago thing. 20 years ago, I was baptized for a second time. Because my first baptism, I was 7 years old and I didn't really understand it. But at 24, I totally understood that baptism 20 years ago. Maybe you're here and you were baptized as a child or a long time ago. And you didn't know Christ or you didn't understand it, why not come back and affirm that commitment with Christ by going under the water and saying, I unconditionally surrender. I fully die so I can fully be alive in Christ. Amen. So I'm going to pray. And after I pray, I'm going to ask for two responses. Just walk straight to the door, see Pastor Jeff, talk to him, get your clothes and go on up. Or come to the front, kneel and surrender. Or number three, pray for those who are. So stand if you would, and I'm going to pray. By the way, while I'm praying, if it helps you, just walk then. Jeff's going right now. Even while I'm praying, you can walk back. Father, I thank you for this 9 o'clock service. God, I love my family here so very much. And Father, I know you're calling us to a life of unconditional surrender, but I know our culture pulls us back away from that commitment. So, Father, we are here to throw in our flip-flops, to throw in our yes. Some, God, are throwing in their yes by walking right now to see Jeff and be baptized today as a symbol of their obedience. Some are going to come and kneel and just say, I need unconditional surrender to God in my life. It's the only option. And others here are going to be in prayer for their brothers and sisters who are making this decision. But Father, I pray for boldness in this room right now. Boldness in the name of Jesus, that those who are coming would see there's a domino effect. When I obey today, I'm going to obey tomorrow and the next day. And these dominoes of obedience are going to fall. But if I say no right now in the God's sanctuary, how am I going to say yes in my workplace, in my school hallway? How am I going to say yes somewhere else if I can't say yes right here? So, Father, give them boldness to come, to be baptized, to pray this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. So come right now. Keep the lights like this. Come on. Come right now. Come on. Some of you are feeling it. Come on. Just come see Jeff. He's right there. Go see him. We're going to clap for you and applaud for you. Just come on. Just start walking. Just start walking up. Others of you are going to come. You're going to kneel. You're going to pray. You're going to make things right here. So come on. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Come on. Right now is your time. Right now is your place. Come on. Come on.